All right, loves, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, the first hour of the show is interesting. I had a guy call in saying that I was in one of his dreams this week, and I part of me is rather flattered, and the other part of me is flattered. Anyway, it is 10 minutes after 3, so the state attorney general was in town, and Letitia James is going to initiate a lawsuit against PepsiCo because 17% of the trash along the Buffalo River and its tributaries is directly traceable to PepsiCo. That would mean 83% is not directly traceable to PepsiCo. Who will they be? Like the unnamed co-defendant? The unnamed co-conspirator? Now, PepsiCo employs, in New York State, its headquarters, 10,000 workers. If I were PepsiCo, I would say, really, Letitia James, you want to continue with action against us? We will be moving our headquarters to Florida or Texas. Up yours. We're done. We're out of here. Have fun trying to make up the payroll losses. Oh, and yeah, and by the way, keep running those ads in other states about how friendly New York State is to business. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. They stopped running those ads because I think they generated 2 jobs with an expenditure of how many tens of millions of dollars? But again, you know, this to me, this isn't a political issue as much as it is a common sense issue. Whom do you hold accountable for littering along the Buffalo River and its tributaries? PepsiCo, that makes the single-use plastic packaging, or the people who are slobs who throw it away? And then where do you stop? How about cigarette butts? Let's start picking cigarette butts off the road and then enumerating those, saying, okay, Newport, here's how much you owe us. Marlboro White, Red, here's how much you owe us. When does it stop? And those of you who are dairy farmers, you're not off the hook either. And basically, you're a bunch of hayseeds, the way New York City sees it. So you don't matter in the great scheme of things. Might as well go after you because New York State, and this is the advantage of research before a show. I don't know how they're going to look at this at corporate, but I actually Googled New York State cow fart ranking. And New York State is number 3 out of 50 states in the amount of methane and associated gases associated with flatulence and belching of cows. Why wouldn't you go after dairy farmers? Why wouldn't you? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Personally, I think Letitia James ought to go after the squirrels in my neighborhood because they're the dumbest animals I've ever seen. You could take an empty road, my car, and the squirrel is going to go in front of my car every single time. And as much as I love animals, frankly, I'm sick of braking for them. It's like, I'm wearing my brake pads down for you. You don't deserve to live. Yes, I make that decision. Oh, and by the way, the funniest thing, too, is the concern about the unborn and the toxicity of plastic on the unborn. I'm sorry, this was the state that stood up and gave a standing ovation to late-term abortion, and suddenly they're concerned about the unborn? Huh? Talk about a double standard. Anyway, John in Lancaster, you're on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I think it's funny they're not saying anything about diabetes from years and years of drinking syrup, but somehow a can that a frog is sitting on top of is hurting the environment. But why don't they just make everything return for deposit? Every piece of garbage, you know, get people behind picking up everything, no matter what it is, you know, assign a value to it, and the community would get in on it. The only problem is government would take that money and tell you it was for one thing and, you know, put it towards something else.
It certainly is an interesting idea, but I don't know if people are going to be willing to pay a 5 or 10 cent deposit on single use containers, plastic containers for items made by PepsiCo or any other makers of beverages and snacks. What do you think?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it's such a huge crisis, I mean, there's people walking around picking up cans. They go in the dumpsters and dig for them. I mean, you can assign, if it cleans up the environment, if that's, you know, paramount, why aren't they just making every square toilet paper, you know, of some value to mail into Kathy Hochul for a deposit?
Well, don't give them any ideas. Are we talking used or unused squares of toilet paper?
Yeah, I know how bad you want to turn this show into fart jokes, Tom.
Sorry.
Anyways, there's something I wanted to bring up. It's called the General Fund. And I found out about this. 2004, they raised the registration for ATVs from $12.50 to like $24.50, something like that. And they claimed that all this extra money would go to a trail fund and, you know, there'd be more trails for New Yorkers, because I rode ATVs with my son. And a couple of years ago, I found a state agency, believe it or not, for ATVs, because there's NYSSA for snowmobiles. And I called them, and they said, oh, yeah, in 2004, they raised like $1.6 million with that revenue. And I said, so where are the trails? Because we couldn't find any. And they said, oh, yeah, that money went into the general fund, which I researched. And they can just tell you that money is for one thing and put it somewhere else. So, I mean, how do they expect us to get behind a good idea and fund it when they can just take the money and go somewhere else with it?
But do you think, sir, in the interest of fairness, I must respectfully ask you, do you think this is a good idea? Because 17%, that's all, 17% is directly attributable, according to Letitia James, to PepsiCo. And 17%, let's put it this way, when you employ 10,000 people in one state of these 50 United States, I'm sorry, I think you've got some bargaining power. I think you've got some leverage. And if I were Pepsi and its lawyers, I would say, you either drop this lawsuit or we're moving our operations.
Right. But we can always complain about stuff, but we're supposed to find some solutions. We're the community. We elect people. We're good at finding solutions. You know, if there's garbage laying around, then there should be a deposit for it. Figure out how to get to incentivize the community to do something or do better. The money's
but
out there.
I mean, are we really good at solving problems? I mean, if you're down at the Buffalo River and you see some dude throwing packaging into the water, are you going to be the one to risk getting into a fist fight or worse because some dude was throwing a plastic bag into the water?
Well, I mean, we already have littering laws and stuff. I mean, but nobody's going to rat on somebody unless they get something for it. That's why major crimes, they offer rewards and things, or the tip line or whatever. I mean, you can either put the citizens against each other to try to turn somebody in for littering for a few dollars, or you can just say, you know, if you have a bag of garbage and bring it in, we'll give it a dollar. There's people that have nothing else but that. They would take the leaves off your lawn. I mean, you know what I mean? There's ways to incentivize people.
But then we'd have to put a deposit down on every leaf on our trees in order to make that feasible.
No,
well, here's a maple tree. It's 60 feet tall. We calculate 30,000 leaves.
There's some people that have a pickup truck load of cans. I mean, I've seen it. There's things you can do. There's young kids that want to sell lemonade for a quarter. I mean, if they pick up garbage and you get a whole bag, maybe only certain people would be eligible for that. Maybe students.
Well, I don't know. Excuse me. I just don't know how you put a deposit on a plastic packaging for a single-use item, and whether people are going to go along with that. And then are there even redemption centers that are set up for that kind of redemption? Cans and bottles, they're kind of easy, but
you said about... No, but you said before about recycling, you said that they were focused on the paper and the cardboard and stuff, and all of it ends up in landfills and stuff like that. But, I mean, what is the garbage? There's some plastic, there's some metal, and there's paper. And people go around going through your garbage to pull metal out because they recycle it. That's why there's none of that stuff. I mean, you could make it less, but there are people that would collect a whole bag for a penny. I mean,
we'll see what other people have to say about your idea. Is that a good idea? I don't know, and I don't say this disrespectfully. I don't know that it is practical, but I mean, I would prefer some high-profile cases where people are busted for littering around the Buffalo River, because I know this might sound really ridiculous given what I'm saying today, but I am an ardent environmentalist when it comes to the Great Lakes. My programs on the Great Lakes wind turbines would be Exhibit A in defense of that position. I really am an environmentalist, but I'm also somebody who is into fairness, and it doesn't seem fair to me and to my knowledge, I don't own any stock in PepsiCo. I might in a mutual fund somewhere, but not to my direct knowledge. But it's not like I'm here to defend Pepsi. I'm just here to defend common sense. I'm more of a Coke guy.
Right. But they could incentivize like some kind of coupon or something. So you do there something promotional. People like that stuff. I mean, I just paid $8-$9 for a six pack of pop. You know, it's like Oy. Really is kind of a lot. So
that's
I mean,
all right. I pay more than that for a four pack. But as you know, I make the stuff that's made in Mexico because I don't allow myself much soda. I'm sorry. I don't allow myself much pop. If I'm going to drink it, it's going to be the Mexican stuff with the sugar cane, not the artificial stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, if they want to stay in the community, if they want to do stuff, I mean, you know, get a garbage bag, fill it up with Pepsi products, like, you know, papers and cans or whatever. If they give you a coupon, who cares? I mean, there's always something that could be done, no matter how small. It adds up.
Well, look, it's an interesting idea, and by the way, the first Earth Day, you'll be happy to know that little Tommy took a garbage bag around the block and collected all the trash at the side of the curb. So I was brainwashed at an early age. I didn't get anything for it.
A ton of money, right, exactly.
Except dirty looks from my mother saying, how come you don't do that to your bedroom? But thank you kindly, sir. I appreciate the call. All right. Do you have any ideas on this? To me, it seems just so unfair to go after PepsiCo because 17% of the litter that they identified that was collected along the Buffalo River and its tributaries are traceable to PepsiCo, which means 83% is not. What are we going to do? Let the other 83% off? I mean, what happened to equal rights under the law? How come these other 83% of polluters are getting away with it? And how come the dairy farmers are getting away with it? Because we have the third fartiest cows in the country right here in New York State. And we're not even going to get into dog farts. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I think there was an ad once, I think there was a band called the Fog Darts. Not too hard to figure out where that was coming from. Here's Matt on WBEN. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Now, look, I got to say, I don't think your cynicism is necessary here. I mean, if anybody has earned some good faith with the citizens of New York, it's the New York State government. I mean, they always have 100% heart.
I appreciate the sarcasm. Keep going.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, maybe they're onto something here. Maybe they should start micro-stamping every soda bottle. Maybe they should start a database of who's buying soda. They know who has it, who's using it, who's disposing of it in the wrong ways. Or maybe an excessive sin tax like cigarettes. You know, they started just putting a $10 tax on every bottle of soda purchased. You know, New York's onto something here. I think you're looking at this all the wrong way.
But that would be unfair to women and minorities, at least if it involved voter ID. It's unfair to women and minorities. So that could be seen as very unfair to women and minorities.
Semantics, Tom, semantics.
I love the cynicism. Keep going. You're on a roll.
I'm good, man. That's all I got. You have a good day.
All right, brother. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. What do you want me to say? I've lived in New York State for how many years? I think I'm entitled to be a little bit cynical. And when the attorney general comes to town and she makes such an asinine argument about PepsiCo, do you not understand that 10,000 people have jobs in New York State thanks to PepsiCo, which is headquartered in New York State? And do you not understand what would happen if PepsiCo said, you know what, we're just out of here. Enjoy collecting 0% of zero on payroll taxes for PepsiCo. Have fun with that, New York State. I mean, why do you think so many rich guys like Tom Golisano and Rush Limbaugh moved out of New York State? Why? Because they're stupid with money? No, because they're good with money. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Gaspar in Lockport. Gaspar, you're on WBEN. I love the name, by the way. You are on. Hello.
Hi, Tom. How are you? It's been a long time. No talk.
No, sir. I trust you are of Italian descent.
Oh, correct. I think you probably remember not too long ago I talked to you about my daughter, Marissa. With a breast cancer.
Yes, breast cancer. Yes.
Yeah, but anyway, I guess we already have all the information we need. Why don't we go after the car manufacturers next and sue them. They must have all the information of all the DWIs of what kind of car they're driving. If they're driving a Ford or a Chevy or a Chrysler, why don't we say, well, we should sue Chevy for billions of dollars because they were the most contributing DWI accidents.
Or
be the same thing. But anyway,
another person giving them ideas. No, but look.
What I think really is going on here, though, I don't think it's about cleaning up. Letitia James has never been interested about cleaning up the state. She's been given a job to do, and that is to generate as much millions of dollars as she can. And let's think about why she's doing it. The politicians have a big drive right now to go to all electric cars, okay? When we do that, and all the electric cars that are being sold right now, you're losing 70 cents a gallon for every gallon of gas that isn't being bought anymore. So therefore, the state is losing millions and millions of dollars every single day by a loss of gas sales. Where are we going to go to make it up? You think the state's going to tighten their belt up and just say, well, we don't have that money coming in, we got to tighten our belt and figure out what to do? Or do you think they're going to make it up somewhere else?
I think the state will tighten its belt.
They're trying to sue all these people.
The state will tighten its belt right about the time I tell you that I've decided that I identify as a woman and I want to marry you. In other words, I don't see that happening anytime real soon.
Exactly.
Notice I didn't rule it out.
She's got to come up with another way to make up millions of dollars to make up for the loss of gas tax.
But, you know, but don't you agree? You can only extort businesses and people so much before, if they've got a chance to get out, they will get out. I mean, and to me, this amounts to government by extortion.
Well, I will say one thing. I'm a firm believer that history repeats itself. And I also believe that our government is so broke that there's no fixing it. And if you think back in the past, what happened hundreds of years ago when the people were taxed to the point that they couldn't take any more tax? We had a revolution. Straighten out the government. And what happened a year before the revolution? The king tried to take away all the guns and all the weapons from the people so they couldn't revolt against the government. And where are we today? It seems like the government's trying to take the guns away and we're taxed to the point of we just can't take any more tax.
Well, see, we have taxation with representation. I mean, we elect people like Tim Kennedy to raise our taxes, and he will win handily. If he runs for the Senate, he will win handily. We have people who represent us who basically bend us over and give us non-consensual prostate exams every chance they get, and we keep voting them into office. And that's why I'm sorry if I sound negative, but I've seen this play out way too many times before, where people bitch and moan to a radio show, and then they either don't go to vote, or not enough of them go to vote to make any substantial difference in particular statewide elections, but even the local election. Mark Poloncarz, as I expected, trounced Chrissy Casilio by 18 points. Wasn't even close.
Right. And, you know, the elected officials, we elect them to represent us, not govern us. But they all seem to forget what they're there for. They don't represent us anymore. Now they tell us what we're going to do. They don't do what we want them to do and what we are in favor of.
But they hold on if you'd like to continue this, because I find that to be a very interesting point. I'd like to continue that after the break on WBEN. Tanner Saunders back at Master Control. Thank you, loves, for being here on WBEN. And again, I'm trying to keep this like out of the political realm. To me, it's a common sense realm. Who really is responsible for pollution in the Buffalo River by PepsiCo plastics? Is it PepsiCo or is it the people who throw the plastics in the water or around the water? To me, that's like a total no-brainer. On News Radio 930 WBEN, I am the man with no brain. Bowerly, good to be with you. All right, Bowerly, News Radio 930 WBEN. Hello, loves. Talking about the State Attorney General, Letitia James. She's on the warpath against PepsiCo because 17% of the garbage around Buffalo River and its tributaries are directly traceable to PepsiCo. Oh, my goodness. So they're going to hold PepsiCo accountable. PepsiCo, by the way, some of PepsiCo brands include Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Pepsi Zero Sugar, Aquafina, Gatorade, Mountain Dew, Quaker Quaker, Lay's, Tropicana products, Doritos, Cheetos, Naked Juice, 7-Up, Frito-Lay, Tostitos, Sierra Mist, Lipton, Fritos, Ruffles, Mirinda, SodaStream, Sabra, Pearl Milling Company, and caffeine-free Pepsi. That's a lot of stuff there. Pepsi employs 10,000 people in New York State. And if I were Pepsi, I would be on the offensive on this, and I would say either you drop the lawsuit or we are moving our corporate operations from New York State. All of our 10,000 workers in New York State are going to be given the opportunity to move elsewhere, have fun collecting 0% of zero payroll taxes, New York State. That's how you have to fight back against these bullies in government. You've got the money, and money talks, and Pepsi has lots of money, and money talks. And certainly, if they're going to come after you with these kinds of ridiculous, frivolous lawsuits, I think that if you at Pepsi were to say, hey, New York, get bent. That might have some power. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Did we lose the other guy? I believe we did. Phil in Lovejoy Village, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. So, you know, I'll start off where you started off at the beginning of the show. The issue with the Republican Party is, and you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat, but I don't vote the line. If I find somebody that I like that has that holds the message that I want to hear and thinks going to uphold the edict that I want to preserve with my vote, then I give them my vote. But I think where the Republican Party became fragmented is when Donald Trump invited everyone in under the auspices of Republican in order to gain the votes. And these were, you know, a lot of the Tea Party people that had their own individualities and their own wants and needs. And they want to, you know, push these agendas forward by, you know, taking public office or voting along a certain party line. And I think that that's how the Republican Party became so fragmented, because everybody has their own edicts that they want to push forward, and everybody like this Tommy Tuberville, you know, are going to hold the line until they get what they want rather than just representing the wants and needs of their constituency.
Well, in that regard, the Democrats are the victors over the Republicans and will be every single time. The Republicans are like the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, and teams like the Buffalo Bills are the perennial also-rans.
Well, you know, I think that Liz Cheney put it well, and a lot of the, you know, people that knew the Republican Party and what it stood for years ago see how fragmented it is, and they don't want to stand behind it because it you know, tries to pander to every ideology that everybody and their brother has. While, you know,
but think about the local Republican Party and the candidates that it has fielded for major offices over the years. And the way I've got it figured out is, oh, you're a multimillionaire. Oh, you can self-fund your campaign. You're our guy. You're our woman. Anybody else has absolutely no chance, and that's just no way to run a political party. And I'm sorry, but the results show it time in and time out. I look at the Republican Party, and I see a party which is growing in irrelevancy in New York State and probably the United States every day.
That's because everybody has their own agendas that they want to further, and they keep splitting up all these votes. They can't get anything. They can't put anything together. They're so fragmented, as I said, that the Democrats have it together. Right,
well, the Democrats don't always have it together. Not everybody is part of the squad. And Groucho Marx, I believe, once said way back when, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. I think it was Groucho Marx, but if it wasn't, it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, the Republicans, at some point, you know, much like you analyze a football game or a coach's performance or a quarterback's performance, at some point you look for patterns. And what is the pattern of the Republican Party?
the pattern of the Republican Party is to just try to get as many people under the auspices of the Republican Party, get their numbers up without being able to satisfy any of the wants or needs of these voter base that has this skewed perception as to what it is that they want to push forward with their agenda and then hold the line.
That may be one pattern. The other pattern is a habit of losing, and maybe in part because the fragmentation. So we both may have valid points. But as far as the Letitia James going after PepsiCo because 17% of the litter along the Buffalo River, these single-use packages are traceable directly to PepsiCo. I mean, first of all, PepsiCo, I have to figure out what their market share is with soda and with the snacks it sells. But if it has a giant market share, why would it surprise anybody if their numbers are 17%? I mean, other companies might just do a better job of hiding the manufacturer of the single-use plastic. I don't know.
Well, you know, Tom, it goes back to the edict, like with the gun control people. You know, guns don't kill people; people kill people. It's not about legislating this or taxing it or depositing it. You know, putting deposit on stuff to get people to get behind being ecologically conscious. You know, I mean, is it all just the tree-hugging hippies like myself that, you know, pick up trash? And I think when I was 5 years old, I was in the Buffalo News sweeping west in Potomac, you know, trying to do my civic duty back then. And, you know, it kind of goes along with the, you know, the public service that me and my wife do and the nonprofit that we run
How many little baggies of empty heroin did you find when you were sweeping up there?
Oh, nothing there, but I can tell you, over the years cleaning up in Lovejoy, I've reached into garbage bins and found tons of needles. I found bags of needles and tons of needles around, even around the school out here.
Now, be careful. Seriously, though, be careful with that stuff. I mean, nobody needs to get a bloodborne illness from trying to do. Look, I mean, and I know that this might surprise you because we're supposed to be the hate-filled, all-right-wing radio station, but I consider... Oh, I know. I consider myself an ardent environmentalist, which is why I went ballistic about the Lake Erie wind turbines, because I recognize the sanctity, and I don't use that word lightly, of the Great Lakes. We need the Great Lakes. We need fresh water. We need to preserve fresh water, number one. Number two, I can see no benefit accruing to Western New York whatsoever from Lake Erie wind turbines, and I see the great potential for hazards, for oil leaks, not to mention fires, not to mention the wintertime. Things tend to get a little bit icy on the lake. You can ask the Lake Carriers Association about that, the people who are the commercial voices of Great Lakes shipping.
Well, Tom, I was involved in the first installation of wind turbines here in Buffalo. My company and me, we designed a closed circuit camera system that has a camera at the base of each one of the turbines at Bethlehem Steel. And we ran 5 miles of fiber out there. Those are with one of the blades facing up, it's 435 feet to the tip. You know, the Tennessee Valley Infrastructure Group was the one that built those there.
All due respect, I don't have much use for them, even if we're just talking about just the tip.
Yeah, where does the power go? Downstate, like everything from
Niagara.
From the Niagara Power Project. You know, as far as like trying to legislate people into being more, you know, environmentally conscious, it all goes back to people's upbringing. You know, I mean, I'm on the east side of Buffalo. I watch people clean their cars right out onto the street and treat the world like it's garbage, like it's their garbage can. You know, I'm the one that's been single-handedly responsible with some help from some of the neighbors to keep our business district here clean, blighted, and ready for investment. But it's just, it's ignorance. It's ignorant people that were not brought up correctly, not brought up to understand how you know, if you just throw it in the wind, it goes away. It's somebody else's problem, not yours anymore.
Hey, that's what Mother Nature does to the leaves in my neighborhood. They all end up in my shrubs, even though I don't really have any trees of which to speak. But, I mean, did you come up in the generation of give a hoot, don't pollute? Remember that?
Yeah, I was born in 66. So
you were part of that generation. But I mean, I you know what? I'm with you. I think that a greater emphasis on educating people as to their individual personal responsibility for protecting the environment would go a long way. And it goes a lot deeper than just cutting up your six pack rings to make sure sea turtles don't end up with plastic nooses around their head. Should PepsiCo be responsible for the litter people are leaving at the Buffalo River and its tributaries? Well, if you believe that, then you got to go after Ford, you got to go after GM, big local employers, and you got to go after the dairy industry, because in New York State, our cow farts are number three in the country in volume. Don't know what our farmers are feeding those cows, but boy, do they fart up a storm. You thought you were bad with chicken wings and chicken fingers? Uh-huh. Phil, as far as this specific idea of New York State going after PepsiCo, when it can only be traceable to 17% of what is being found along the Buffalo River and its tributaries. Give me your bird's eye view of that and where you view that.
Well, it's completely ridiculous. It's some type of cash grab that she thinks that she's trying to mount here. It's nothing that you can legislate. It's nothing that you can sue over, because you'd have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Pepsi was responsible, other than just to produce those items, for putting it into the river systems. Pepsi could come up with more aggressive type recycling measures. Like you see, there's a name brand granola product that gets its packaging for its granola bars shipped back to them so that they can utilize this blow molded film, and they make bags out of it. They do a lot of good stuff with it, but they give an option for it to be postage paid, mailed in. I mean, we have a society here where I don't think 5 cent returnable bottles are litter, because there's always somebody around to pick those things up. But it's the paper and the straws and the plastic film wrappings from these other chip bags and things like that. You can't legislate people. Before you know it, we're you know, lawed to death here. You know, DuPont is still fighting. DuPont's still fighting lawsuits and placating lawsuits from 100 years ago for people that are suing them because they were a gunpowder manufacturer and the gunpowder killed their grandpa. You know, that's the whole reason that DuPont was just sold off.
I was unaware of that aspect of it. It would seem to me that I just don't understand suing somebody for something that happened to your great grandfather or grandfather. But
these are lawsuits that have been going on for 100 years that they just keep placating and placating. So I mean, where is it going to go? It's just going to clog up our judicial system. It's going to keep, you know, real things from being heard and real lawsuits from being decided. It's ridiculous, because you, like I said, you'd have to show without a shadow of a doubt that PepsiCo was responsible for putting that stuff into the environment. So, you know, at the end of the day, educate people when they're younger, show them what these types of things, where they end up in landfills. They don't denigrate. They sit there for 1,000 years. And then when they do start to denigrate, they just go into our water tables, which will pollute the environment for generations to come. So, you know, other than that, there's nothing more that you can really do. I mean, we're a disposable society. There's a lot of extra packaging on things. You know, these plastic manufacturers are looking at different ways to try to make plastics more responsible. And I think the last time that you talked about recycling, you know, I called and, you know, I understand that the only thing that they really want out of there is paper, and everything else goes into the landfill. And I said, well, it makes me feel good to put it all in the green bin. I don't care where it's going. I hope they're doing the right thing, but our program here is shot.
Yeah, nothing. See, feeling good does nothing for the environment. If you put stuff in your green bin, that is just going to end up in a landfill, no matter how good it may. It basically, forgive the expression, it's kind of like mental masturbation. Might feel good for you, but doesn't do anything for anybody else.
Well, shame on the shame on our city officials for lying to us and making us feel that this stuff actually is going somewhere by at least taking it in. If they're not going to do anything with it, why build up false hopes and even say, put it in that bin? These are the things that we'll take. We'll take all of it, but it's again, a cash grab. It's a way for them to pay a big recycling company to sort their recycle, throw most of it into their landfill, and then just sell off the paper.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I must move on to a break. I thank you very much for the call on WBEN. More calls coming up. We're going to continue this. We've got a lot of other things, too, to get to. And, you know, as a talk show host, guys, you know, we do have this relationship. And, you know, it would be nice to get a little credit once in a while from you guys for working the words fart and masturbation into the same show. Not many hosts would do that. I've managed to pull that off on WBEN.